CliffCentral.com. All right, yeah, we're back. We're here to look after you. And we've got lots to talk about. Leanne tells me there was an actual dead body found in her street.
Yeah.
A dead person.
I was...
What is it, under a... like a hedge?
No,
I was... Did you find it?
Jeez, thank goodness not.
That would have been a disaster. Can you imagine you went for a little morning jog or something?
It wasn't just someone that just come back from Jolly Roger. It was actual dead.
Yeah.
What?
So I was innocently posting on the... It's in Melville.
Okay.
On the I Love Melville group.
Yeah.
An advert for my cottage. Mm. And I saw that the page had blown up. And usually it does. I mean, if the water pressure changes, everyone knows about it.
Things.
Oh, it's horrible.
Are you on a WhatsApp group as well?
No, because no, no.
I won't go on those things, but there are WhatsApp groups for everything.
People just love to moan.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
So, my streetlight's been out for 6 weeks.
Yeah. It's really annoying. There's some good stuff on there too, though, and it's good to keep in the loop. But and then I saw that it was just crazy. And a body was found in the main street in Melville, in 7th Street. But literally on the corner of my road.
Sure.
And
was it curled up?
It was 4 o'clock in the morning when it was found. Security was called, and they called the paramedics, who arrived and couldn't resuscitate the person. The person was dead. And then the body lay there from 4 in the morning until 9 in the morning.
Ugh.
And everyone on the group was saying, I only saw it after 9, not the body, the news.
Oh.
So people were saying, it's so undignified, he's lying there. You know, in the meantime, forensics were there. They were trying to do their thing.
Yeah, it wasn't like you just left there like, okay, well, let's go have some breakfast. We'll be back in a bit.
Yeah, everyone's on the group going, where are his friends?
They put a sign over his head saying, we'll be back.
They just put like a state agent sign over it.
And of course, everyone watches these crime shows. So they were all like, when's the coroner coming?
Coroner, please.
Oh, gosh. So the police don't know what happened. They haven't released his name. But some witnesses are saying that it seems he was beaten to death.
Oh, my God. No. That's horrendous.
Yeah.
What are you sort of piecing together? If you think about the fact that it's the main road in Melville, do they think like he was out on a Friday night and was drinking?
To give you an idea, Melville is like... it's a crazy ball of fire on weekend evenings.
Mm-hmm.
I've had people bashing through my fence while they were having fist fights. Literally just outside my bedroom window. Yeah, you either love it or hate it, but people just see it as a playground and they go absolutely balls. They just scream, shout, fight. It's just crazy. And a lot of times the car guards have fights too, and they're often drunk.
Mm. Fuck you!
Yeah, that's what it sounds like from my lounge.
Bullshit!
So I don't mean to freak you out here. You think it's that innocent? It's not like murder in Melville.
You need at least two people for it to be a serial killer. Or is it just a killer?
Who knows?
You need to earn that title. Hang on a second. Was it outside a shop?
Outside a bar.
A house? A bar. And no one at the bar?
And it's right opposite... we as a family have a building in Melville.
Yeah.
It's right opposite that.
Oh, wow.
So it's pretty close to home. My office is in that building. Hmm. My uncle lives there. It was just like quite scary.
Aren't you lucky they cleaned it out before you had to go to the office?
Mm. Jeez. Yeah.
It's quite a thing, huh? Have you ever seen a dead person?
I think I have, like driving past an accident.
Oh, it's a horrible thing. Mm. It's weird. You don't think you'll react. You'll be like, well, it's just a carcass. It's like a piece of meat. But man...
Ooh. I've also been near family members when they've died.
It's body, not nice.
Body found on 7th Street in Melville.
Look at that. Ben's doing the research to make sure you're not lying.
Yeah, because you know you got to...
I could have made it up.
Ever since Gord came here, we've got to cross-check every story.
We do.
Oh,
right, yeah, we do, because right. Gord made up this bullshit story about his grandfather being friends with Christopher Robin, who wrote Winnie the Pooh.
Oh, my word.
Turned out to be complete horse shit.
So like one of my jobs here is that, you know, I go quiet for a long time on air. If you ever worked it out, it's because I'm cross-checking all the stories everyone puts out there.
Ben's our fact checker.
Yeah, there we go. Mm. Police were called out to the scene during the early hours of this morning, 9 September. Crom.
Crom.
Police have been stationed at the scene since 4 a.m. this morning.
Crom. Did someone tell Danny Kaye? Because he's going to write a song about it.
Circumstances surrounding the unknown man's death are sketchy at the moment. However, some witnesses allege he was beaten to death. Leanne Moll, local resident.
I ate my brother!
And there's so many... everyone just jumps to conclusions on the page and you watch them. You think Why were the police called? A car was stolen, they say. You don't know
what?
That.
How did that escalate so quickly?
Was it a homeless person?
I have no idea.
Well, there's a picture... I'm guessing that's not someone's geezer. That's a person under a foil blanket.
Oh, right.
It's outside, on the main road.
On the main road. This person couldn't have just been beaten and then no one saw.
Well, here's an eyewitness report. From one of the...
It's a problem when everyone around you is
one
drunk.
Of the other people at the bar.
It's a very touristy
place, you know.
One Zolura in... Rakala Tilur.
He's just drunk.
He's
making that up.
Yeah.
You're right, Leanne. It is a very touristy place. Under Crom, again, tourist shot in Melville robbery.
Oh my god.
Yes, that happened too.
That's where it's happening, man.
A Frenchman, Gareth, was shot in Melville on 28th of July.
He was followed from a banker, I think I remember. Wow.
He had his money, passport, bank card, and credit card stolen.
Just stop right now, because we're trying to get people to come here as tourists. Jeez. We don't want the French to get all nervous.
But you can come here for dark tourism, too. There's actually the show on Netflix at the moment called Dark Tourism.
Mm-hmm.
There's an actual show.
We spoke about this, I think.
Yeah. And you can go to different places because they're a little bit edgy.
Yeah.
A little bit.
You can hear this woman. She's high on crystal meth. Yeah, she's sitting on the corner where that dead body was found right now.
Oh, that person is high on mandrax.
Hey, listen to this quickly. This is from Andre. He says, I was listening to Leanne speaking about that bunker in Texas. That was 2 weeks ago.
Leanne's full of stories at the moment.
So I was wondering if you guys heard about that show called Zeitlanders. We have our own doomsday prophets with a twist. I'm not going to spoil it. Watch the Dark Tourist episode 7. So that links it to what you're saying, Ben. He starts in Alex and goes off to Urania and ends in Randfontein with the Zeitlanders.
Well, they're just very sort of sketchy, titchy Afrikaans people who believe the end is not just nigh, it's in their face.
Yeah, they collect tins of baked beans and they've dug a shelter.
Look, you've got to watch the show. It's actually kind of comical. At first, I didn't realize Orania was actually so nice. They've got a nice river. They've got bars. People wear shoes. It's not so bad.
People wear shoes.
But then these other people, yes, as they are.
So Andre says, love the show. The new format rocks. Later, Andre. Well, that's nice. It's always good to get feedback.
Remember you asked me if I hoard stuff like, and I said I sometimes buy 6 months of deodorant in advance.
Yeah, I do that.
Well, my brother uncovered my dad's bunker.
Uh-oh.
And I actually have a photograph
and there's
proof.
There's scopes in there.
Hang on, what's he got here? Can I just see? There's lots of sugar. Mm-hmm. There's tins of Lucky Star, or what's it called?
Sardines.
Sea Pride.
He loves his sardines.
Pride. Look, Sea Pride sardines.
Yeah.
There's toilet paper. That's important. I do think you need to stockpile toilet paper.
So far, so good, yeah.
You know, because if we're going to go the route of Venezuela, let's say Julius's wildest dreams come true, and in the 2019 elections he gets enough votes, then you're going to need this shit. Baked beans. There are just tons of baked beans.
Gotta love baked beans on toast.
The and hot chocolate and bully beef. Let me tell you, there's
Listen, one day when you're craving meat, bully beef's going to go down a treat.
I'll tell you something, there is no recession so bad that I'll eat bully beef. There is no recession.
And big peanut butters.
I would rather...
Yeah, that's fine.
I'd rather pull the leaves off a mulberry tree like a silkworm and eat those than eat fucking bully beef. That is disgusting.
That's just spam, essentially, right?
Yeah, it is.
Vaulting.
Same thing.
Spam. Bacon and spam.
Essentially, the less food you eat out of a can in life, and less shit hits the fan, you should probably go for.
It's horrible. Horrible.
Oh, tinned peaches. That's a peach that just got a raw deal.
I grew up on that stuff.
Those tins
all,
of things.
Tins of everything.
We all did. We had no choice.
Until one day I found my pilchard was pregnant with a sack of eggs.
Stop.
And you're like, score extra protein.
I've never touched them again. It was flesh coloured.
See us throwing up a little bit. He's actually throwing up a little.
Pale flesh coloured sack of
very
eggs.
Oh, this is so bad.
That's really bad because it essentially has caviar.
Jesus,
though.
That's horrible.
Essentially, it is.
It's pilchard caviar.
Essentially, it's caviar. I mean, you actually scored.
But they didn't look sparkly and ethereal.
It wasn't what you wanted. I once cracked an egg in a small chicken. Kind
oh,
of,
no, no, no.
Feynman.
No, it's like...
Feynman.
No, really, it's obviously the small... There was a small being.
But hold
on. Oh, I'm actually going to gag. Oh, you know when you start salivating.
So you found a... Oh.
Yeah, well, like,
my eyes are starting to water.
It definitely... It was like a small, semi-stillborn kind of dungus that came out.
Oh.
No.
Oh.
It wasn't yolk. It was...
You know, it's funny, yolk. The dead body discussion, we were okay.
Yeah.
But a sack of eggs.
And suddenly we were all over the place. Oh, that's horrendous. That is disgusting.
Ooh-wee. God. Ooh-wee.
And once I found yeah. I found a spider in my pasta dish, my Alfredo. No, that gurgling. Do you know why your mouth fills with saliva before you're about to vomit?
No.
Lubricate the passageway?
No, it's to protect your teeth from the acids.
Oh,
yeah. So sometimes you like lean over the loo and it's just spit. That's happening.
This interesting fact was brought to you this morning in the hopes of making your Monday a little better.
Ooh-wee.
Yeah. If you had a boozy Sunday. Oh, gosh.
Oh, yikes.
All right. Well, apparently the brain cannot feel pain.
No, it can't.
Yeah. So. Your brain actually has no pain receptors. So if someone took an axe to your head would hurt, but your brain wouldn't feel a goddamn thing.
Yeah, the surrounding membranes and veins and skin and all of that mm-hmm. would hurt. But you can actually...
You can cut right through the brain. No one will feel a damn thing.
That's it.
And they do that. They give people lobotomies.
My mum's had quite a few brain surgeries. And the pain that she has afterwards is... The skull that's been drilled into.
Yeah, it's a head.
The actual brain doesn't feel any pain. Yet, it's the
organ. You just start drooling out of the one side of your mouth. And, you know.
Yet, it's the organ that processes pain.
Sure.
All types of pain, emotional, physical. But it doesn't have any nociceptors, which are the nerves that detect damage or threat of damage to the body and signal the spinal cord and brain.
Yeah.
You remember in Hannibal in the movie.
Yes, they ate that guy's brain out of his head and he didn't even know what was going on.
Yeah, it was the FBI agent, Clarice.
Yes, they took off the back of his brain.
Yeah, he sliced the top of his head
off. And then ate it out with a spoon.
And the FBI,
some fine candy.
And the FBI agent was like fully awake, even though he was drugged. And he said himself, Hannibal Lecter, he said, see, the brain itself feels no pain.
See, you should have listened to him.
So you wonder then what causes headaches, right?
Well, I'll tell you what that is. That's usually dehydration of the meninges around the brain.
What are meninges?
They're the three layers of...
they're like cellophane membranes. Wrapping.
Yeah. So there's the very thin one that actually goes into all the cracks and crevices and holds the brain in, contains a couple of really important blood vessels and that kind of thing. So that's the nourishing and feeding of the brain. It's a thin little layer called the pia mater. You know how you vacuum pack stuff sometimes?
Yes.
And it like clings to it. That's what that looks like. It's thin and it goes right around the brain. Then there's one called the arachnoid, and that one's slightly thicker and contains all the big important blood vessels and a lot of the cerebrospinal fluid. And
my
mum
had a subarachnoid hematoma.
There we go. Because what happened was that one of the blood vessels burst or something, and then that blood starts like to...
Filling the brain.
Right.
And the brain cannot endure blood touching it. It just... reacts really badly.
Yeah. Kills the nerve cells.
Like a big bruise.
Yeah. And it also puts pressure on it. So then you've got that, and then around that, and by the way, if you're a doctor and you're listening to this and you think I'm talking shit, then please call in and correct me.
I can tell you you're right.
Okay, and then outside of that, you've got a thick, this is like the, it's almost like the cardboard layer. This is like the packaging. It's called the dura mater. That's a very thick one that kind of absorbs the pressure if you bump your head and that kind of thing.
Like shocks.
And that one goes between those other two layers, which are inside it, and the skull itself.
Mm.
So that's the one that's meant to be a shock absorber. And, you know, it's
kind of keeps it all together. Because the brain is mushy. It's like the texture of a melted marshmallow.
Really?
Yeah.
I thought it would have like a meaty consistency.
The brain fluid itself keeps it quite turgid.
Oh, so it's like, it absorbs the right amount of liquid. So what happens is that, I mean, I'm really pulling on information I learned a long time ago, but it's more or less the texture of melted marshmallow.
So if you touched the brain, would you be able to leave an imprint?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, it's not firm. And I mean, if you're a doctor,
it's elastic.
You're a neurosurgeon, you're someone who's done autopsies or whatever, you can maybe probably explain it a little bit better than me, but that's what I've understood.
Yeah,
I remember cutting up something in biology class, and we had the brain, and it's soft.
Yeah, mushy. People cook it and eat it. It's very tender.
The human body is fascinating.
Yeah, not even neuroscientists know the brain properly yet.
No, we don't understand half of that.
We know bones. We know skin. We know breakages, and
we know which chemicals organs are involved, and we know what happens at the synapses and how the information's transferred, and you know how pain signals are generated and how motor signals are generated. We can manipulate the brain. Like you can put an electrode into someone's brain and make their arm shoot up.
Yeah. And did you know that brain freeze or ice cream headaches?
Yes.
They seem to be caused by sudden changes in blood flow in the veins that lie between the back of the throat and the brain.
That brain is a sensitive thing, huh?
Yeah.
It really is the most difficult organ.
And also, if you're like me, you get headaches from grinding your teeth at night.
Yeah.
So, again, it's affecting the muscles and the sinew and the tendons and the actual joints.
Right.
Yeah.
But you're so right by saying if you manipulate it in the right way, your body can do certain things just from the messages in the brain. The past week and a bit and a so from just being in hospital with my sister and the birth of my niece, it's fascinating now because my niece is premature and she's been, she's been in an incubator, how they're manipulating her body to still believe that
she's in the womb
and for her to grow. So they currently have her eyes covered and they're doing what they call this UV light treatment. And I think that makes her take in signals that she's still in the womb and she'll still be fed certain signals. She's being fed through the wires. Like modern science with how our bodies function is just fascinating to spectate and to see. It's really interesting.
Well, we're trying to figure that. There's a lot that we don't know yet, but it's certainly better than it's been before, and we're figuring out more and more every day. And because of things like the internet, doctors in different parts of the world can share information as they discover it, so the research becomes immediately available. It doesn't have to be published for 3 months in some journal, and then some other doctor discovers it in that journal, and blah, blah, blah. So things happen faster. But look, very mysterious, the brain. Very, very interesting piece of architecture, that. And we still, you know, we know which areas do more or less the different things. There's balance, there's hearing, there's vision. But I'll tell you what, we're nowhere near being able to map the whole thing out. It's not like a computer hard drive where we could say, well, those are the files, this is how much space they take up.
No, I mean, with my mom's situation, for a year we didn't have any answers. They couldn't even find the source of the bleed. And you kind of just wish that it was rather a broken bone or something.
Sure.
You break a bone, they can tell you exactly how long it's going to take to heal, how it'll heal, and what the consequences will be afterwards. With the brain, no one knows a thing.
And you think you are your personality, right? You think you are a unique individual. You've got hopes, dreams, ambitions, goals, certain character traits, a sense of humor. Certain stuff gets you upset. Other stuff makes you happy. All of that stuff is all just a bunch of nerves firing off things. And your personality, if you hit your head hard enough, you're a different person.
Mm.
If something goes wrong in that cerebral cortex, you could change overnight. You could go from being Sia to being Ben to being Nolo to being Gareth.
Now, which one do we really want to be?
Jesus, none of them. None of the above is the answer.
If you had to
none of the above.
Yeah.
Look at what the people at Headway always teach us whenever they stop here. how much a person can change just from the slightest accident around their head, and even just a tiny bump or a major accident, how that completely changes you as well.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, while we're bringing up interesting things, you know what you take for granted every day that has really changed human experience? The fridge. Talk about a brain freeze, but this is a different kind of brain freeze.
Yeah.
So the fridge, do you know what it used to cost? And by the way, they used to use ice blocks. They used, you'd buy ice blocks and you'd have something called an ice house, which is like a brick thing.
Oh, yeah.
That you'd put the ice in. Yeah, and you'd have a door
like
on
it. Like a rave spot.
Yeah, the ice house.
Like, you remember, I think it was season 2 of Downton Abbey when they literally used to have ice delivered. It was the most amazing thing.
So
I'm sure that was the
luxury. Listen to this. A refrigerator in 1919, it was called the Frigidaire, and it was the first self-contained refrigerator. It cost $775, which in today's money is $11,000, which with the rand. Jesus. I mean, let's work that out for a second, right? I'm going to do the maths here so you can follow me. 11,000 in today's money in dollars multiplied by 15.3. It's 168,300 rand. 160 for a fridge.
Oh, you were really wealthy if you had one.
Oh, you had to
be
the richest person in the whole universe to buy that, right? And now we have, everybody has a fridge.
Mm.
You put your milk in there, you put your meat in there, you keep your drinks chilled.
And
we take it for granted.
The freezer is just phenomenal.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, when we don't have electricity for a few days, it hurts. You lose tons of money in food.
Oh, my brother and sister-in-law went away once, and the power went out, and they had a freezer with some meat in it.
Oh, gosh.
They got back, and it was disgusting.
The smell is...
They had to throw it out. They had to actually throw it out. They almost burnt down the house. They were
like a dead body.
How do you get rid of that smell?
You don't. Mm. You can't. You have to throw it
away.
And
it only takes a short time once the power's off.
Listen, we forget. Like they used to put salt. That's why salt used to be so valuable in old, sort of post-medieval Renaissance times. Salt was the most valuable thing because you could at least cure meat. You could turn it into biltong. Mm-hmm. So you could take fish and you could salt it and you could take meat and you could salt it and then it would last longer. But they didn't have fridges. And that stuff goes off quick.
Yeah.
Overnight. Next day it stinks.
Poof.
So think about that. The fridge. I mean, it's just amazing. That fridge that they had in the Frigidaire that they had in 1919. Apparently the average hourly wage in 1919 was just 43 cents. So it would have taken the average American 1,800 hours of work to afford a fridge back in those days. It was a marvel in those days, too. It had only 5 cubic feet of storage. So you would call it a mini fridge today. And now you can hold 25 cubic feet's worth of food and drink in your fridge. And it has fingerprint-resistant stainless steel. It costs like just $1,000 or so for a really good one.
Well, there's this whole ad campaign at the moment for a fridge, and it always happens to me. I can never remember the brand. Great ad.
Okay.
But it's all about knocking before you go in. You need to knock before you go into your son's room because you don't know what you'll find. And this fridge, you actually knock on it once or twice, and it becomes clear glass, and you can see what's in it. And the whole idea is so that you don't have to open and close the fridge all the time.
That's good.
I mean, you can tell yourself that there's nothing in the fridge and you've seen it with your own eyes, but you'd go back and you'd look.
I have to open, yeah.
I do that all the time.
So, that's the latest in fridges.
We take your calls. You know what you have to do. You have to pick up the phone, 0861-555-189. And if you want to get hold of us on Skype, it's Cliff Central, one word. Hey, Sean, what's up?
Morning, guys.
Yeah, what's happening, man?
Oh, not much. Monday, so start of the new week.
You know, stop complaining, Sean. I've always hated that about you.
I'm not.
You
love
to
not.
Fucking
it's Monday. Hang I'm on. So glad it's Monday.
You go on and on.
Guys, I want your take on something. We had a discussion over the weekend about the drought and why the climate is changing and everything. And I thought to myself, do you remember a while ago there were these guys in Cape Town with these big machines that they basically take, in Afrikaans it's called the pop, out of the air and condense it into water to fill the dams. I don't know if you remember that.
Well, they're not filling. They weren't filling the dams, but they.
We interviewed someone.
Yeah,
about
they
that.
Had a machine that would take the moisture out of the air, and then
it's
it
reverse
would,
osmosis,
right?
So you know that the basic principle is an aircon does the same thing. I don't know if you've seen. If you put on an aircon and it's really hot,
it drips.
There's water dripping.
Yeah,
it takes the wetness out of the air.
Yeah,
And it condenses it into water. Now I'm thinking.
Yeah, you're obviously a scientist the way you're talking. So yes, carry on.
Most vehicles has got an aircon in it. Most businesses has got a big aircon in it, and then also most properties has one or two aircons in it. And I wonder, and this was the discussion. You know, one of the guys said, "Is that not perhaps the problem with the little rain we're getting? Is because we're taking all of the fog out of the air? You know,
are
that's
you
supposed to become clouds and rain?"
Are you suggesting a conspiracy theory that air conditioning is changing the environment?
That's one for Ben, yes. I want Ben to follow up on that.
Yeah, Ben to follow up.
I'm already researching.
Ben's fact-checking as we speak.
I just need to find out if Leanne actually knew the deceased in Melville, so this might take a week or two to get back to you.
All right, well, there he goes.
Took it hard.
Yeah, he took that really badly.
It's a very good point, like what air conditioners have done. You know, like, okay, this isn't a good example to Sean's point, but air conditioning in Dubai, you know, it's always been, like, fuck hot there.
Yeah, that's how it is.
Fuck hot. It's a meteorological term, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Fuck hot.
Mm-hmm.
So, but as hot as it was, you could always sleep on your roof in Dubai because the original people and they had these, like, wind structures, everything was fine. Air conditioning, though, created, like, this, like, haze of heat because think about it, all this hot air is coming out of these buildings. It's not just sitting there.
Mm.
So that's what made it even, like, more fuck hot.
It made it worse.
Far worse. So air conditioning, it was manageable until the air conditioners came in.
Hey, maybe he's onto something, you know? Let's not dismiss it.
I think he is. I think he's a very smart man.
Maybe the air conditioning is changing and pulling out too much moisture from the air, and as a result, you know, we end up with some climate, microclimate change. Who knows?
Air conditions are really bad.
Bad for
your skin as well.
I don't know. I don't know what's happening here. I drive around, and even on relatively cool days, I have the aircon in my car because otherwise it turns into a box, a hot box, and I can't handle it. I don't like a hot car.
Mm.
I used to drive a car without air conditioning.
Oh, gosh. So that did was I. Hard. Through the
that
Karoo.
Was hard work. Dude, that was hard work. It used to have those windows that you'd have to wind the window.
No. Yeah.
Been there.
Yeah, and what you'd do is you'd just get hot air blowing through the car, which would make it
and
worse.
And it makes the car go slower.
Oh, and it goes pop, 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 pop in your ear.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
Jesus. So I drive with the aircon on. I keep it on one, so it's
Even if it's constant. Cold, sometimes I have the aircon on with heat.
Yes.
It just keeps the air crisp.
Yeah, I don't like the car. I don't like the car to be too hot. Can't concentrate.
Aircon with heat.
Yeah, well,
it also stops the windows from steaming up if it's raining.
They call it climate control.
Yes.
Mm,
and we've got this air conditioner that in the studio. Thank God we don't use it all the time anymore. But when we started here, that thing was on all the time, and it gets freezing in the winter, and then it gets, you know, really hot in the summer, and you kind of try to find the happy medium.
What was the tweet I saw from a girl? It's so hot today. I wish I could put my titties in a ponytail.
Well, you know the Queen of England. While we're talking about this,
oh no,
she doesn't put her titties in a pigtail. Don't panic. But she has her temperature. I think it's whatever 22 degrees or something. And she says all her houses must be at 22 degrees.
Fabulous.
She keeps them at that. And if it's cold for you, you put on a jersey.
Hmm.
That's the rule.
Yeah.
She likes it at that temperature. Everyone else fits in.
She doesn't get sick often because
it's my house.
She's not changing temperatures.
Exactly. You go from very, very cool to hot. You go from hot to cold. You're going to end up with some problems.
I find most public places are too hot. Restaurants, shopping centers. I find most places are just, they run too, or maybe I run too hot.
Maybe you do.
Yeah, maybe you're going to think that.
Maybe it's those maybe it's, those hot flushes that you have.
Maybe it's the end of the menses.
Menses.
Something like that.
That's wow. A cute nickname.
That sounds like something that happens at the Kruger Park where the animals all go to the watering hole.
Yeah.
It's the end of the menses. You can imagine David Attenborough talking about it. And the elephants make their way to the watering hole as they do at the end of the menses. Right?
Yeah.
Fucking hell. All right, we got Rich Mulholland, right? Love Rich Mulholland. He gives us the reality check every Monday. People love it. It's popular. You haven't heard it before? What? Are you insane?
What's wrong with you?
Yeah, exactly. Don't embarrass yourself and your whole family. Come on, get your shit together. Oh, by the way, I've got to tell you about this movie. We've got another movie premiere. Are you interested?
Yes.
This one's all quite right. Scary, isn't it?
From the outer reaches of space to the small town streets of suburbia, The Hunt comes home in Shane Black's explosive reinvention of the Predator series. Do I remember? The Predator! With me, Arnold Schwarzenegger!
Yes, of course.
Now, the universe's most lethal hunters are stronger, smarter, and deadlier than ever before. Do you remember how they took off the mask and that mouth opened up like a locust? Yeah. And I was terrified when I was a kid and I saw that for the first time. When a young boy accidentally triggers his return to Earth. Their return, sorry, the Predator's return. Only a ragtag crew of ex-soldiers and the disgruntled science teacher can prevent the end of the human race. CliffCentral.com wants you, our loyal listener, to have the chance to see the movie the day before everyone else gets to see it at an exclusive premiere, a preview screening just for you on Thursday the 13th of September. This time is it at, it's at Monte Cassino. Want to join us? Well, email events@cliffcentral.com to get your hands on tickets. That is events@cliffcentral.com. Go and check it out today. Don't be left holding your balls, sitting outside the cinema without a ticket because you didn't email us, you moron. I told you, don't make me come and have sex with your maid if you want to see this movie.
He's so cross.
He's so angry. This is a great movie. I was the first person to take on a predator just hiding in the trees. They can disguise themselves, go invisible. You remember? Now there's a new kind of predator. And much more dangerous.
They're bigger, faster, and meaner.
Yeah, and they don't speak Spanish like my maid. She's not a predator. I was the predator. I turned the tables. You see what I did there? That's Arnold. Oh, man. I'm looking. I like The Predator. I'll go and see this movie. I don't go to these movies easily. I don't leave my house easily. I go to this. So that's Thursday, the 13th of September, Monte Cassino. Email us. All you have to do is get on your phone, get on your computer, events@cliffcentral.com. Get them while they're hot. Let's go to Rich Mulholland and see what he's up to. Good morning, Rich. Oh, hang on a second. That doesn't sound like Rich. That sounded like music. Rich Mulholland, how are you, sir?
Yes, Kev. I'm good. How are you?
Excellent. It's Monday morning. I'm ready to take the week on.
Fantastic. And any week that starts with people saying words like meniscus, it's going to be a great week.
Whoa, jeez. Yeah. Okay. So tell me what you're thinking about this morning.
So I'm thinking about something that happened last week to me. Mm-hmm. I was speaking at a conference, and it was like, I think there was 19 speakers. And you know how they do, I'm sure you've had it many times, when they're calling you up, they read out a bit of a bio about you.
Oh, yeah, they give you that intro.
Yeah, and they make you sound amazing. It's like always phenomenal. Like, I always wish I was the person that my bio made me out to be. But anyway.
Yeah, okay. So, I hate those things, by the way, because they always, I get embarrassed. Like, I don't want to be reminded of, you know, and he started on campus radio and they always bring up this stuff. And then he started this business and blah. I get embarrassed. I don't want them to talk about me. Just say, here's this dude. Hopefully he'll make you think.
I'll tell you why. Look, for you, you're like famous and people know who you are and it's a cool thing. So anybody who sees you coming already knows that. Let's say you're going into another country though. And they didn't do that. Mm-hmm. Then nobody really understands why they should listen to you. And the problem with that is that it makes it easier to buy an audience's attention when they know there's somebody coming. So as silly as they are, I realize that when I get onto that stage, I look like a bit of an idiot.
Yeah.
But with them building it up enough, top 40 young South Africans, Destiny, okay. 40 under 40, yeah. blah, 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 blah.
Makes people feel like they're about to get something worthwhile.
Right, right. And the last thing, what I hate is when a speaker gets on and does that themselves. Hi, I started out and I was amazing, and then I'm even more amazing. Yeah. Anyway.
You'd rather have the intro.
Yeah, for sure. It's easier, but it's embarrassing, and I totally get it. So anyway, so last week, everyone's getting their intros, and it was quite funny because something would happen. This dude would walk up and he'd say, started a business at this age, blah, 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 did this kind of thing, and now running such and such. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Bob Smith. Mm-hmm. And then there'll be the next person will come up and started a business at this age, doing these kind of things. Very, very successful CEO, also mother of four. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Susan Thingy. And this would happen throughout the day.
Yeah.
And throughout the day, every guy that would be introduced with all his business credentials, and every woman who was introduced would be introduced with all her business credentials and how many children she had. Now, if you're thinking this is problematic for women, I'd like to take it the other way, and I think it's problematic for men. So I went to the back of the room, I gave them a new photograph and asked them to put it as my first slide. And then they came to me and they introduced me up and it was, started Missing Link when he was 22, built this kind of thing, global speaker, blah, 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 blah. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Mr. Richard Mulholland.
Mm-hmm.
And I got to the stage and I had a photograph of me and my two kids. And I said, guys, I'm a father of two and I want to make a suggestion here. And I took them through everything that I'd heard leading up to that.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you why I think it's important is that we do, and the kind of line I used there, I said, women of the audience, I know you guys want to make an impact and we want to right a whole bunch of the wrongs that have happened with regards to gender inequality in the workplace and things like this. But if you want moms to be taken more seriously in the workplace, then dads have to be taken more seriously at home. Because being a father is a job too.
Hmm.
I got divorced many years ago. I'm remarried. And for many years, I was a single father. I picked up my kids. I looked after them. I did all of these things. I, fed them, bathed them, did all of everything that had to be done with them, took them to school, drove them home, took them to get clothes, all of the things I'd have to do when I had them. It's a job. It's a thing. But the problem is we're by setting up men to only have work, men have to double down on work because it's the only point of, I guess, ego we have.
Hmm.
But for some men, they take a lot of pride in being a dad, but yet they get no credit for it because being a father is not seen as a job. And I do 100% believe that if we want to change the perception of moms in the workplace, we need to change the perception of dads in the home.
I love
we
that.
We need to, yeah.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, I feel that The progression can only happen if there is a division of labor, right? So it's not about saying that the mom is still the absolute primary source at home and things. It's that assumption. I mean, in South Africa, it's very progressive laws around this, but often it's that, custody will naturally go to the mom. And this made sense before because custody naturally went to the mom because the dads were usually working and the moms were spending more time with the kids. But if this is changing, if you have two executive parents, I'm not sure that that is necessarily the narrative anymore. And if you have a dad who's a stay-at-home dad and a mom who's working, I'm not sure if the idea that kids need their moms is as true going forward. Anyway, I think the reason it's important is none of these things. It's because we have to change the narrative we have with our sons.
Mm.
And we have to let the boys growing up, the next generation, grow up to realize that being a dad is a perfectly viable career choice and job and things like this, so that they understand that they will be taken seriously in that role. And if they believe that, then maybe we will have a better chance of a truly functional division of labor. And that division of labor will equal or will equate to more equality for everyone.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right, because what we do in these situations, we try to sort out the cosmetic stuff first. So we try to make it equal for men and women in the workplace. And then we kind of, the home will sort itself out, And also the role of fathers is kind of played down
because there are so many really terrible fathers in the world who have let down their kids, and the mothers end up being single moms, and they try their best, and you know, they try to put together a good life for their kids.
Or but just men expecting that the mom will be the mom.
Yeah.
And I saw a line in a movie the other day where the kid says, the mom went out and the kid was being looked after by the dad. And she was cuddling with him at the end of the day and said, I like it sometimes when you're the mom.
Yeah.
And it's just her perception is that that's looking after children is a mom's thing.
Yeah, it's not necessarily gender aligned for the kid. But, you know, we do have a problem, and in South Africa we have a major problem around fathers and fatherlessness. And I can't help thinking that you've hit the nail on the head here by it not being treated as a serious job, being a father, and it really is. You're doing the kid an injustice, you're doing the mother an injustice, and you're doing the father an injustice because you're not giving credit where it's due for a really important part of the whole child-rearing process.
Yeah, and I guess I understand why it happens. I talk about this concept, legacide, I wrote a book about, and it's that innovation doesn't happen when you start doing something new. Innovation happens when you stop doing something old. And this is kind of what's happened here, is we're looking forward to which work construct can we change to make things more equal. But actually, there was an older problem that we have to fix, which is which home construct should we repair first to make it more equal there. And if we can get that balance right, I think we'll be moving in the right direction. Anyway, that was it. It was a small thought for everyone to ponder. I hope you have an awesome week. Do great things. Stay curious.
All right, dude. Thanks very much. There we go. Rich Mulholland, the reality check. That's about all we got time for this morning. We didn't even get to Said by Sia. Do you want to squeeze it in?
We can get to it tomorrow.
All right.
What's that? Do you want to squeeze?
As he plays with the Trump keyring.
The Donald Trump keyring. I brought Sia a Donald Trump keyring from Berlin, where if you squeeze Donald Trump, he takes a shit.
He poops.
The picture's already up on the Gareth Cliff Show Instagram page. All right. Page.
You see, you need to go and have a look at that. Follow us on Instagram, follow us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, follow us everywhere that you can follow. And you can go to cliffcentral.com if you've missed anything. Download the podcasts. They're available every day. Subscribe on the Cliff Central feed on iTunes. If you don't know how to do that yet, I can't do everything for you. But I'll try. Use the app. Use the app. Use the app. Donald Trump just repeats the same thing to his followers and they vote for him. I'm going to try that every day. Use the app. Download the podcast. Subscribe to the podcast. Make your life better.
It's kind of hypnotic.
You heard what Rich Mulholland said just now. Don't be a dummy. Innovation starts when you stop doing the old thing. Which means you don't get in the car and turn on stupid radio and listen to them telling you what the time is when you could see the time perfectly well.
Or whose birthday it is.
Whose birthday it is. This day in history. For God's sake. Didn't you hear what we talked about? We had dead bodies. Talked about refrigeration. Talked about the brain. Man, we got a super high dose of useful information this morning. And you can get that every day with us. Don't fuck around. CliffCentral.com. Download the podcast. Use the app. Subscribe to the podcast. All right. Enough. I can't carry on doing this. New evidence has come forward that the Guptas profited 100 million rand from a Chinese loan to South Africa. Though this story is rather telling in the current state capture inquiry on the go, the Guptas are okay with conceding this. They just don't want anyone to know what the VAT increase from the last budget speech was all going to them. That's the part they want to keep covered up. News recently broke of a meeting that took place to try and oust Cyril Ramaphosa. Yeah, it was in the Sunday Times yesterday. An overthrow of sorts is now being predicted, but the president himself says he isn't worried. He says by the time these people really get their ducks in a row, there will be nothing left of the country or the ANC. So what will they actually have to overthrow? And finally, Rossy Erasmus is really at a loss of what to do after the Springboks' latest loss. Not quite the situation you want going into a clash against the All Blacks, but he isn't exactly in such a phased mood. He says losing to the All Blacks by less than 30 points is a real honour. So he's just going to try and play spoiling rugby and kick it all day. It's as easy as that. Watch, you'll see it'll come true. All right, we'll see you tomorrow. CliffCentral.com